ready to recover.
Arcanically.
Yeah. This is a new intro for Arcane Recovery.
I'll take my recovery.
On the rocks.
On the rocks.
Anyway, welcome to Arcane Recovery, a after talk show based on the last two episodes that we recorded for the podcast of Campaign 1 Ventilor. So with the start of these two new episodes, even more shit happened, and God, there was so many great moments between characters, Sophia's sickness, and absolutely one of my favorite bits that we did for these two episodes is having our actual selves being servers.
That was awesome.
What a great bit.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, besides that, because I'm sure that could just be a regular talking point that we can have for it. What was your favorite moments for these two episodes?
I got a pretty good one. Starting off strong, Ari. I loved Gail directly quoting what Lycan has screamed at you when we had our big argument fight. And it just goes to show like how much it hit Gail. Like, Gail was listening. It wasn't just an argument for argument's sake. Like, things mattered. So, like, you being able to quote that, like, almost word for word was like,
ugh. I was so scared. I'm like, I am not articulating this correctly. So I'm glad that it came off that I was word for wording it.
What was the quote for the listeners at home and also someone who maybe does not remember what the
I've
quote was?
It wasn't me this time.
Pause.
I remember.
Howdy, folks. It was at this moment that I noticed I was hooked up to Heat's mic. So we're taking a small break to fix our wiring. There we go. Now, back to the show.
Okay, cool. Sorry about that. Back on track.
The quote.
I wrote it down, but this is definitely not word for word. It's just as what I remembered. It was, if you don't make choices for yourself, how do you know they're your own? I was like, oh, that's a good quote. And it was what? Had been sent to you, and you said "good friend,"
and I was like, "I did say friend."
You did,
yeah.
You did say friend, and I was like,
"I know."
Yeah, that was cool.
That was my favorite moment.
Thank you.
I liked meeting my family again.
Yeah.
I think it was, it was certainly like, I think, a turning point for Brian to be in the same room as his. You know, found family previously and his new kind of, you know,
yeah,
people.
Just like divorced parents.
Yeah. To be there with everyone kind of connected a lot of like bridges in his mind, if that makes sense. And like he's definitely going to be a lot more open than he was before.
Ooh.
Yeah. Cause now it's all one thing.
Yeah.
Ish.
How did you like whenever they were introduced? Because I know you were in like search mode until like there's like, oh, finally, Kyrim, boom, like right, like punch to the face.
Well, I think that's very in character for Leon to have done that for sure. And also, Kyrim is the reason why Brian wanted to drag Leo along when meeting everyone, because that's the only other Arcanic that he's ever known, and their personalities are very similar. On multiple occasions, Brian has almost called Leo Kyrim. I haven't found a chance to actually say it like previously, so I didn't. But that's also
I'm just a replacement.
Last time we were recording, I think it was last time, maybe the time before. I had Brian say something about well, this isn't, you know, blah, 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 based on my experience with Arcanics. And that was a little Easter egg, bit of foreshadowing.
Yeah. That was that thing that you said all the way back. I think it was like maybe two or three episodes of Arcane Recovery ago.
Yeah, yeah. And I mentioned it during that Arcane Recovery as well, yeah. And then on the car ride home, I remember talking about it with you, and I was like, did you pick up on that foreshadowing?
Yeah.
Thought that was fun.
Leo.
My favorite thing was a really cool thing that Lycan did with the sunflower sonar. I thought that was sick as hell.
Very smart.
I was like, that was
very
such a cool way to do
very
an improvised
cool
room.
Oh, Band name.
Sunflower Radar?
Sunflower Sonar.
Ooh, that's cool.
That's kind of sick.
Yeah. That was probably my favorite. I that was just really, really cool.
Yeah. Because, like, we haven't seen runes for a while. So once, like, yeah. You know, just, like, again, like, the versatility of rune casting is be like, yeah, don't worry. I got this. Here's the concept. And just like, yeah, let's do it.
That was so, so cool. And we were able to, it helped us out.
I love the flexibility of rune casting. It's so fun.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite moments was Nyssa and Brian just owning the stocking of this rekindled. Gosh. And then...
getting then, rocked.
Then getting their butts whipped and being like, whoops, oh, we gotta go. I thought that was really fun.
What scared me is that you had a stat block for that character.
Like that. I did. I did have a stat block.
You're like, I didn't expect this. Then you're immediately, I hear legendary action, and I'm like, oh
shit.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, if I get, I'll quickly explain that. Where the idea was that it was a potential thing that could have happened inside the fight ring, so I expected all of you guys to be there for that fight. But once you know, Haven was like, "I'm looking for someone." I'm just like, you know what? Why not? Because there was that certain information I still wanted you guys to learn. So I was like, sure, why not? And it would be a really cool connection to have be like the distributor. Coming out and you still getting to learn that information, be like, okay, since you guys didn't help out the Night Marauders, you still get a chance to learn that piece of information, which would, now that you've learned it, is as pretty good information.
Yeah
it was just very unlucky that it was just the two of you, and you're just like, you know what, let's jump this fucker.
I don't know, I think we did a good job on our own.
Yes,
I think we kicked his ass at least a little bit.
I hit one time and he phased through it. Oh. That is all that I did. I didn't land a single other hit.
Yeah.
Well.
So you did pretty well. Oh, I hexed him twice.
That's not bad.
Ari.
Oh my god. I obviously this was a lot for me. Episode our first episode we recorded today obviously was a lot for me, but I think I do have, so there's a lot of things that are favorite moments, but one that does stick out because it was so like impactful in the moment was really just because of the visual it created in my mind, after Gale stepped out the doors of the house and Nick describes this like sea of people of the acolytes with lanterns looking up at them. Something about that visual, I almost started crying. And then the idea of that crowd dispersing and just being the one person and that being Toby was just something about that visual just shook me to my core. And I was like, oh, this is the a big end of a road, of a stage. I mean, that whole thing was so much more massive. We can talk a little bit later about what I thought was going to happen versus what did happen, but
yeah.
That was probably a favorite for me.
Yeah. I really wanted to make that scene impactful because I like you said before in the last Arcane Recovery that we've talked about it. Like we had this conversation back and forth and I was thinking about like, okay, there are repercussions because Iago kind of fucked over Gale and be like, yeah, sure. I'll sign you over to the Prosopone and like everyone else, you know, like since he's this new high priest where he was aware of the rules, but he's like, you know, I'm still going to do this for you because this is what I believe. But since it went against the rules, there's just like this heavy situation about it. And I wanted to make sure that like it was really impactful, that still gave you a good stepping stone to potentially come back. Because like what I wanted to do before with Atlas posing that question to you, now also keep in mind, there are four other champions of Karmos.
This is true.
But for... that thing to be like, you're going to receive a champion's blessing for you to return back here, still provides that openness to be like, this can be the thing. And maybe if you answer that question for Atlas, maybe there's a way for Gale to come back. Mm-hmm. Or maybe if you meet a different champion, who knows?
Well, that was going to be, I actually had two. One of mine was going to be that one because I loved just the visual of it. And I think what I really liked about that was seeing like KL very clearly express like they were not welcomed into the church for a very long part of their life. And yet everyone's standing out there waiting for Gale. I think that just like, I feel like that's very interesting just to see that dynamic and just the difference between like people outwardly were not good to Gale, but also at the same time, there's like still that respect, which I didn't expect to see.
Yeah.
That was just something that was interesting. Yeah. I was like, huh.
They're still part of a community that has an awareness of their presence.
Yeah. I was like, that is fascinating that that is the one time they would come together. Like,
I mean, I think they were, in my interpretation, they were like sent out there. Like they had to go be out there, but it's interesting.
Yeah. I just thought, I thought that that was very interesting and the imagery was really, really cool. Mm-hmm. Selfish thing that I thought was really, really fun was I finally got to fight with Nyssa.
Yeah.
And I've been waiting, like that's a lot of Nyssa's like texture is the way in which they fight and all that jam, like the Sea King arrow and all that stuff shooting up into the air and all that. I have never once used any of their special arrows because if you aren't aware, Nyssa is a fighter and a sorcerer. So Nyssa's third level fighter, fourth level sorcerer. So has access to more second level spells, but as a fighter is an arcane archer. But yeah, so I was really excited to get to do that.
Yeah,
that felt really fun.
You were kicking ass there. I was having like especially that beginning. What was that spell that you did in the very beginning?
Tasha's psychic lash.
That was fucking me up. Like, they had some rogue stuff. So they had like uncanny dodge and then also the phase shift phase. And then, and I was like also okay with legendary actions being like a part of a reaction thing. But like, as soon as that was canceled, I was like, oh shit. Okay. This is rough.
It's actually interesting because I built Nyssa to be a anti reaction person. Like they are built to like make sure that the enemy is discombobulated and can't do as much as they would like to do. Mm-hmm. Like that's with Psychic Lash. It's that I have the Dark Cloud or whatever. I can't remember what the spell is, but it's from the light. That one.
And that thorn.
Book of Ebon Tides, where it does like three. It does that three and I shoot them off like three of them. And then they can't, sadly, it failed, but they would have had another turn full of no reactions.
Yeah.
So I really tried to that jam.
It's really cool.
It's fair. Yeah. I would say that my, let's see, I'm going to try and choose a favorite moment from both episodes. I would say my favorite moment out of episode 15.
Yeah.
Man, we've done 15 episodes. Holy smokes.
We've done 16. Yeah.
So I would say from 15, my favorite moment that it was just out of a whim. Like you and you inspired me to be like, you know what? Maybe this might happen. Where it's after you're done, you're making your way outside of the House of the Solstice when you look at the moon and you feel a peaceful presence.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
You're so right. That was a really good moment.
Yeah. No, because I need to go see like, if there's information I have access to.
It made me think of yoga with Burton. Because it's the House of the Solstice.
In the moon.
And you need some time in the moon.
I need time in the moon. I really do. I really do.
Yeah.
Okay, Jake. Culp.
Yes, I know exactly what the peaceful thing was relating to, and I thought it was really awesome.
I have no clue what it was.
Very cool.
I have theories.
Cool. Okay, then I'll leave it at it as is. For those who understand, awesome. Because I don't want to maybe spoil it.
I understood.
It's Yue, obviously.
Yeah.
That's rough, buddy. I will say there's, and this isn't like any implications, but. I guess I will say.
If you're pulling my arm.
Yeah, if you pull my arm.
Oh. Heath just smacked Nick's arm aggressively.
Dude, stop choking out Nick. He's not the one that's not tipping you.
Tip your server.
I am a server.
What went through my mind where whenever you said the moon, I thought of Temnota, because she is the goddess of moon, peace, and darkness.
Yeah.
And at a point where I was like, okay, you guys have seen and interacted with enough divine energy to where maybe this is like with, you know, Matana's domain in the Pillar of Dragorum, and you feeling the Incantus gem, and for like Brian and Sig and Lycan getting like some of Oris Fyra's like magic gift a bit. I thought with the way that Gale is just kind of lost, like a lot of things, and trying to find, like just trying to grasp at reality of how much emotion Gale was feeling, I thought it would just be a really good moment to where, like, when you're just out by yourself, just looking for everything, everyone leaving you, and Toby heading back into the church. I thought it'd be just really a nice touch if Tenota would be like, here, like, you're going through a lot right now. Here's just a little something.
I know, which is so interesting because that is more than Gale's ever gotten from their own goddess, which is really fascinating.
Yeah. And yeah, so
that was just thoughts in my brain.
That was just a wonderful moment. I was like, oh, this is great. From
there's
six
a difference between justice and peace.
Truth.
Yeah. I would say for episode 16, That was just us like talking. Oh, Pippi Pyre. Pippi Pyre's I've been waiting to release this NPC for the longest time.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about him?
Adorable little dude.
No, yeah. You're the way you voice his stutter is really excellent. It feels really real. I feel like that was just like dope representation almost. That's what I felt. Like it was just I don't know. It's like the way actual people stutter, and I just appreciate it that in that moment. That's just like it's just a person, and this is how they are. And Pippi's funny, and what a fucking time for Gale to be him. I was like, God, Nick, why?
Yeah, that's fair.
I kind of feel like Mr. Incredible, and the Incredibles are like, fly home.
Like, fly home, buddy.
Yeah, fly home, buddy. Like, that's what it feels like a little bit sometimes when he's just like talking. I'm like, fly home, buddy.
Yeah.
Because, like, all his theories, like, none absolutely of them are incorrect because we don't know. But, like, at the same time, like, as soon as we were like, we're going to follow this person, I thought the whole group was going to get up. And I was like, if I get a chance, I'm going to say, fly home, buddy. Like, I wanted to.
That's funny.
You guys were like, let's sneak off. And I was like,
This makes me think, because I wanted to ask you, how different did these two episodes go compared to the idea that you thought? Because, like, I know that you created the entire fight ring, and then we just kind of went down there, and we're like, oh, so this is a thing. Yeah, you guys are doing stuff? Yeah, that's not our deal. All right, see ya.
Yeah.
Well, back upstairs.
That's totally fair, because I know I was dropping hints of information. I was expecting you guys to try and get into the lower tunnels. I just didn't know what exactly that would mean, or if you would wait till the next morning to try and explore through daytime. But at first I was thinking where I was like, okay, maybe like Brian set on going to the fighting ring to be able to talk to that. Maybe he's going to talk to like a barkeep or the bookie or to be like, hey, I want to get in this fight and try and talk to someone where it's like, I want to find the Night Marauders and that. But like and as soon as you were just like, yeah, here's this rune where I hone it on Arcanics. I'm like, well, that's not going to be a fight. They're just going to beamline straight toward it. Yeah. And once you decide to go up, I was like, okay. And that's what I used Pippi for, because Pippi knew that there was a fight ring, and to explain that there are two methods to get into the lower tunnels through the fight ring.
Yeah.
And then also the Red Fox Den, that still gives you like, here's an option in case you want to do either one. You have to figure out which one you want to do. Maybe Pippi knows how to get into it but you haven't really asked him yet. So like the choice is really up to you guys and what you want to do. Yeah. I will say there is a nice reward if you complete the fight ring.
Mm, well,
yeah.
Light Nissa, wonder. We have to go back to the fighting.
Yeah.
I have an inkling.
I have this feeling.
God.
Yeah. So
with Pippi, I did just want to say real quick, because you asked about it.
Yeah.
The fact that you introduced Pippi right after talking about like the moon, I was like, oh, this is clearly a patron of the moon or something.
No, I thought that.
It literally took until Pippi was at the wheelbarrow and talking to us. I was like, oh, this is just some guy.
Yeah.
I thought he was a patron of the moon the entire time until that point.
It was either that or Pippi was going to kill Gale. Like, either that or that was the butcher. Like, that was the only two options in my head.
That's another thing that I thought of.
That's fair.
Not about Pippi, just when we were fighting the Rekindled and they were doing all that damage in such a short amount of time, I was like, holy shit, is this the butcher? Like, that is a genuine thought that I had and kind of am still thinking, but I don't know.
That's totally fair. I was so ready to. Also, what I really loved about that kind of interaction is you were doing like thieves can't. Everyone from an outside experience is hearing just like, oh, here's a conversation about shoes and getting money for today's sellings. But then in transition, we're like, hey, here's the contact of what happened with this. And so that's like a way for like people can use thieves can't to be like, oh, here's what they're actually saying. Instead of me being like, here's a chart of all the thieve can'ts, you know, keywords.
figure out
how to put it in a conversation. So I'm going to be really happy with how that comes out.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
That was a supportive. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's also what I loved about Pippi, because I had him as like this, you know. Also, I'm finally glad we got to the point, the realization that he is the conspiracy theorist for the ocean and the lycanthrope book you guys had. Funny thing.
I went, wait a minute.
As soon as you said,
oh, he wrote that lycanthrope like, oh, book.
Yes.
As soon as he mentioned lycanthrope, I was like, you're behind us. I've already done that research.
I made the book, bro. But like, what's so funny is I talked to Haven the day or the night after we recorded all that. And I was just like, they did not even open up to the author's name. Like, that's something they could have done. And it would have said Pippi Pyre, where it's like, oh, shit.
This sign can't stop me because I can't read.
Yeah. Yep. So it was at a point where
that's
I was just like,
frequently.
Yeah. Where they haven't talked to Pippi yet. So maybe I should just throw into them Pippi into their way. And I think it worked out beautifully.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For real. Chicken butt.
Chicken butt. Boo at this guy.
Boo!
Got you back.
You didn't even say it right.
Boo this motherfucker. Boo!
Somebody.
Everybody boo this motherfucker.
Well, I think there's multiple ways to say it. I think everybody. Anyways,
and no, it must be Zach.
Yeah. Dollar bill.
I mean.
Stop.
I don't know. I'm trying to like figure out how to sprint this as well, because it's mostly a Nick and I conversation. But it was really fun.
La 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 la.
No, yeah, I'm saying conversation that we had before. I just
I thought you'd be like, we can't hear this.
No, that it would be not interesting to you guys. But I mean, it was really cool seeing y'all's reactions to what was happening with Gale, because it like helped me, Ari, feel like y'all were still invested in this story, because so much with Gale has happened without any of y'all seeing it. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes like when it's just me and Nick, you know, he's DMing stuff and I'm doing things, I'm like, everyone else must be so bored and they probably don't care. But that was like, oh, okay, I'm probably wrong about that. But y'all are still invested as well. So I appreciated.
Yeah.
I appreciated that.
Whenever, like, what, like, to add on to that, I loved it whenever you were in the, when Gale was in the Prosopone. And I remember just seeing out, like, the corner of my eye when Atlas was like, you killed Alexi. And I just remember seeing you, like, Heath and Jake and Adam were just like, oh, shit. Like, fuck.
This is not good.
Yeah. And I was just like, cool, these are good moments. And then also going back to where Malus was just, like going off and just like, you Iago, or especially whenever there's like really intense moments whenever Leon punched Brian and I was like, you bastard. Like I saw a physical reaction from you, Ari. You were just like, holy shit, didn't see that coming.
Yeah. No, I was like, what's happening here?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's nice to like you guys to keep you on your toes and be like, you know,
yeah,
anything could happen.
I know.
Anything can happen in the world.
Yeah. But Adam, you wanted to.
There was another like favorite moment that wasn't really in the stuff, but it was at the start of 16. Ari went, my name is Ari Bardock Mitchell and I'm playing Gael. That was it.
Yeah.
I got so excited. I was like, yes.
I know. I've been waiting
for that.
What's funny is I certainly the way this arc has gone so far for Gael and I has
one.
It's not been like what I expected it to be in a great way. It's really fun. And also like deeply stressful for me. It's okay. But like, you know, fictional D&D world stressful. So much better than real life stressful. Oh, yeah. So I'll take it. But my plan was always in some form that Gael was going to leave the house. I had no idea what that was going to be. I didn't know if that was going to be, you know, they were made to leave. They chose to leave. They left because like the party was going somewhere else. And so they had to, I knew at some point they were going to get removed from that because it was going to be important to their growth. And so I was very deliberate in making that part of my intro so I could take that time where I just said, and I'm playing Gael. Because isn't that boss? I don't know.
Yeah, it's, yeah, no, it's so good.
I thought it was fun. Yeah, I know. God, so many unexpected things. Viewers, just so you know, because I messaged Nick 2 days ago, Friday. When were we? I messaged Nick with some things.
It was Friday.
And I was like, hey, I think I'm gonna throw you some fucking curveballs, and I just want you to know what my plans are.
Yeah.
It was Friday because Nick and I were in Roosters when this occurred.
Oh, that's
yes.
So funny.
And Nick and I were standing in line and he goes, holy shit. And I went, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, does everyone wanna guess what the thing that Nick wasn't expecting me to do was?
Yeah.
You don't have to.
It was fun. Whenever Malus was like, "What say you?" and Gail's like, "Well, here's what I kind of want."
I like to skadoodle, or
I think we were
the reason
we knew
for
the skadoodle,
it.
The skadoodle bit. It's okay. If
wow,
you don't
no
it's,
one was taking notes.
Whoa. I don't know.
As a PC, I don't take notes when I'm not in the scene.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
You know, that's copping out.
Okay.
I mean, to me, it stops metagaming. But okay.
Yeah, I'll metagame instead if you want me to metagame.
Yeah.
Shit, man.
Hey, Gail, you left the house of Stones and Solstice, right?
Yeah, I knew you did.
I saw it in my third eye.
I'll just
something
roll
just
some
happened.
Math rocks
Barry and, told me about it.
Hey, Barry, come on.
What the fuck?
Anyway, the bit that was a curveball that I wanted to make sure Nick knew because it wasn't something that was super going to be part of all of it was Gail asking about, like, where their parents, where they came from, any information about that. That's something that came to me between this past session and this one. Because yep. I'm like, I mean, we were always heading down the road of like, Gael needs to, the only way Gael's going to grow is to recontextualize themselves outside of the world that they have known. And I was like, they have never known a world that wasn't that. What can be a good external goal? And I'm like, well, they know they come from somewhere. And I mean, they have this whole thing of like constantly kind of being rejected and kind of not being good enough. And theoretically, their life kind of started that way immediately by like being left by their parents. So I wanted to make sure that Nick knew that as well as what my plans were in general so he could weave it in.
Oh, yeah.
Well, with the rest of where the rest of y'all are. But I really thought I was gonna go to Malus and get my information, and then I was gonna go to Tovey and tell her I was leaving, and blah blah, and then just sneak out quietly. Let me tell you what didn't happen. That
Mirren showed up.
This motherfucker.
You think you'll would?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. God. I know.
Yeah.
Did sneak in a Mirren before I got banished.
I did. That was, and like going back to Haven's point of like everyone being outside of the house waiting except Mirren and his little posse.
Wait a fucking second.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, that asshole. I'm gonna go redeem myself, and then I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna punch him in the face.
I can't. Yeah. I can't.
Another moment I really liked is you two when you first left and you're like competing to be cool.
Nissa and Brian.
That was really yeah.
Nissa and Brian. As I point to them, that everyone yeah, who's you guys can see. Yeah, you guys. Yeah, I like that moment when you guys were competing and you're like a little sly smile appears on Nissa's face and I was like, aw.
Yeah, I think that's really fun because Brian doesn't really know about Nissa's content. Contempt for him.
Nissa is so not content.
So he, yeah, he like, I mean, he doesn't know Nissa very well, but he's the sneak guy. That's what he does. He's also stealthy. So if there's a stealth mission, and so going along with it just felt natural. But he also like has experienced Nissa in the past being, you know, a little bit cold toward him. So he just wanted to be cooler than them.
Yeah.
And he tried his best.
I actually, it's my favorite moment between the two of them was just the moments where it was just like they were just staring at each other after like one would say one thing that both were going to go do. It just felt like
they're both used to working alone and they're like, yeah, and how do I operate with another person?
Well, yeah, of course you would. We're both doing the same thing. Like, like it was a very interesting and from Nissa's point of view, the only reason they went on that was because of the clarification through Alcidor. Was that they actually saw, oh shit, I am worthy of something like that.
Yeah, I think that was a really excellent follow-up
on
that conversation. It just like kind of fell into place. It was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was interesting because like that's why those silences mattered so much to me, as like Nissa was just like, I'm like actually full on talking to Brian now. This is an adjustment, but we're getting there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. I like that. Mm-hmm. This will be a little tangent, but what did you guys think about me adding all of you, yourselves, in, as servers?
Oh my god!
And people really that funny. Work for this inn.
Must have been so the win.
Funny. Must have been the
win. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so goofy.
Yeah, because like I thought it'd be like a really funny gag when I first introduced it, and then whenever like. And Haven and I talked about this where like Barry came in as like a random NPC that Adam voiced. Mm-hmm. And then you two added in, what was it? Barry, Larry, and
Derry.
And that was just
Kevin,
like,
but Derry.
Yeah. And it was at this point where I was like, you know what? It's going to be absolutely hilarious
doesn't tell her. Damn.
But if
Larry
I.
Likes cucumbers.
Yeah.
Hey.
Whoa.
That's from VeggieTales.
I like cucumbers. Oh, I didn't hear what. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Larry the Cucumber, VeggieTales.
Oh.
People will know if they know.
I got you.
Guys,
if you don't know.
Comment down below if you understand
kids.
The reference.
Only the kids who went to Christian specific Bible camps.
CCD, man.
Oh my
gosh.
Yeah. But I thought it would be really funny just to have like all you guys just be yourselves and be like, yeah, this is a random NPC character that you can have besides that and just be goofy with the podcast.
Yeah,
and I like that they weren't exact; they were caricatures.
Yes,
yeah,
which is always a better.
I mean, yeah, I did flips. I can't do flips.
That was the funniest shit. That was so funny. He's just a cool guy. No other description of
I'm a
self.
Cool guy. Everyone likes me.
You're doing flips. I'm choking out patrons.
I'm just fed up.
The chair was on top where I was like. Like once you two, or Nissa and Brian went out, I was like, "How am I going to involve Ari in this?" Because like they're still at the inn. I want to make sure that we all get some type of NPC in, And then as soon as you two start arguing, I'm like, oh, guess who's going to come by? The manager.
Oh, no, don't put me a manager the in manager. Position.
It Good was, God. I also, Adam, I will hand it to you. You gave literally the perfect ending. Because like, because whenever you said what you said, I was like, Nick, if you don't end it there, I'm literally going to make you
the
make
freaking,
you end it.
The because I was like, thing?
That yeah. is, no, specifically, just at the end, the... If you get tired, come back home.
Oh,
just that, oh, that like I was like good. That is the end. If you do not do that, I'm gonna fucking be so mad.
Like, what's so funny is you've had the ending lines for the past two episodes. Then
I know
I have. I don't even.
Yeah, try.
Oh, the try.
Can I get a try?
That
was so good. And
that just shows how little we've actually moved because we were still in the same place.
We haven't left the building for
we
like
haven't
three
fucking
episodes.
Done anything. I mean, we've done a lot of things. Sorry.
Well, I mean, like, actually, just go on to that point. Now, since like with the Night Marauders, what do you guys think of this new drug lord that's like competing with Calhoun and learning information that connects what you already know? Like I know I dropped a couple names where it was. Let me just look. There was Dante Mathis. Corbin, yeah, those guys. Like, what do you think about like those connections to what you guys started learning?
I have some thoughts.
Yeah.
Well,
please do.
Thanks. Where'd this come from?
he pointed to his mic.
So I think I like the idea of the fact that the story continues from the last arc. It's all still connected, but it. For Brian specifically, it creates this, I can't go into too much detail, but the listeners will know what I'm talking about, even though you guys don't.
No.
It creates this interesting dichotomy within the confines of Brian's contract, because he wants to help his, the Night Marauders. He wants to help them out. But he literally does not know if he is able to, because he has to focus on what he was told to do, but he doesn't know if he can do more in the meantime. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Right? So like he it creates this interesting like where he wants to help, but he's not sure if he can, but he's still going to try to, but he doesn't want to do too much because then he could get into trouble and then this and that and blah blah blah, because he still needs to focus on the butcher or else consequences. So. Yeah.
No, I totally agree, because I thought it'd be really interesting to tell like all of you guys where it's like they're currently on a mission right now and you're kind of like interrupting a bit, and whenever there's like, well, actually here's a little bit of like what we're doing, where it's like, oh, there's this whole other thing going on with like little bits of pieces of information that you guys one solved in arc one, but also there's like this new problem going on, but then you're also dealing with the butcher and. Mm. And like information that you guys know, it's all kind of like going together where there's like this big, bigger, overarching thing going on.
Yeah. Good job with leaving like hints for that. Because like with like the tariffs and that leading to the creation of Liquid Luxury, I didn't think it would be like something that would get back alleyed and black marketed. But here we are.
I play the long game.
Yeah.
He really freaking does. No, as soon as you introduced that thing that the Night Marauders were working on, I was like, oh, cool. This is going to be another one of those things that's like happening in the background to show that the world is not just us. And then it started connecting and I went, okay, well, actually it is us too as well.
Ah, shit.
More problems. Bad. Problems on our problems.
Fiddlesticks.
Yeah. I would say, what was your most like aha or most intriguing moment that you had with one of the murder files that lined up with something new that you learned in these two episodes?
Oh gosh.
Oh, shit. That's a homeworky question, Nick.
I know, Nick. Gosh. I'm like,
well, yeah, review your notes. You're taking them, right?
And it's hard because like I don't remember where they all died or how they all connect.
Who is the one so, like, M name? Who is the one
Mathis?
Mathis. Yeah. My answer is Mathis because they mentioned it.
Yes. Yeah. So we have Mathis. It was a butcher murder 4 months ago. Location of death was the storage warehouse in Karth Plaza. They were a street vendor, and Mathis was a familiar face in the market selling rare trinkets and importing goods from Gelgrados.
I did not catch that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah.
He got replaced by the Rekindled?
Yep.
Like the job got replaced?
Yes.
By the Rekindled? Okay.
So it's kind of inferred that that Mathis was this, you know, explaining it now, is this front man for call Moira. And then once they died, this new distributor took that place.
I know.
And is now being like, okay, well, here's the black market underneath the Karth Plaza.
Starts to all come back to that.
That's the one where I was like, whoa. Also, the reveal that Pippi said about like all of this, I kind of had a slight suspicion of that every single one of them was the Butcher.
Yeah.
I had a slight suspicion that was it. I was like, I don't know if that's an Oathbreaker.
Yeah. And whenever the episode comes out where that is something the Magistrate mentions. Where he's like, most of these deaths here were actually all of them were Butcher murders.
Yeah, remember when we were going through all of those, and I was like, why the hell are we reading through Oathwort? Like,
yeah,
like remember because I was confused. I was like, wait, why do we care about these?
I was like, let's only get the important ones
because it matters.
Yes. Yeah, and that's and I wanted Pippi to be like a confirmation to you guys, even though like he's someone new that you know, was introduced to, but I just wanted to be like, here's another good person that will just validate all your information and be like, here's his own information that he's found out through there, where it's like, well, we got all this stuff and now there's like this other guy saying he knows all these things. Like, do we trust him? Do we this? And I just want to be like, yeah, probably should. So it just lines up for what you guys know.
Well, now it begs the question though, is like, is Dragorim the right person?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
that's earlier. Yeah. That's like why earlier in the episode I was like, while talking to Pippi, I was like, I don't know who it is anymore, because then it could just be some underground urchin that we don't know who it is.
Yeah.
Because and like, how because would that make sense for the other things we were really focused in on Orin, but clearly the magistrate was happy mad. About what we did.
I want to know the magister's relation to Liquid Luxury. Because I feel like if we understand if he knows the other Liquid Luxury people, that would be a little more telling.
Yeah.
If it is him.
Yeah.
Because we don't know his stance on that.
Yeah.
This is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
This because they're all connected through Liquid Luxury.
Yeah.
Wait, okay, just from my brain, are Liquid Luxury and Liquid Luck the same thing? Or
no.
Am I...
No,
okay.
Completely different.
Liquid Luxury is the cure.
Yes, and it's supposed to alleviate liquid to anyone there.
Like, alleviate the withdrawal symptoms.
Cool.
Because,
like, this whole time, I've just been flip-flopping the tools.
It's like a Nick patch.
Yeah. Now, what's actually really interesting, going back to, like, oh, what did you guys want to do? I was like, kind of hoping that you guys would try and find this distributor inside the fighting ring where maybe Sig and Brian find it, because there's some things where it's like, oh, you want to sample some of this stuff?
Oh, God, not bringing that back. And,
ooh!
Ooh!
Ooh, piece of candy.
Shiny. So I was kind of hoping that was going to be an interaction that happened, but I was like, okay, maybe not. And then once, you know, you Nyssa and Brian were telling them like, okay, maybe it can happen. And then once there was like, oh, let's jump them. And I'm like, no, that's not happening.
I want to know, what spell did the dude cast when he hit both of us with like a violet flame?
Wait, what the fuck was that?
I was like, motherfucker. I was like, what spell does that shit?
That was its own like attack, like spell range attack that I did. And I'll tell you about the stat block a bit. But, and that's why I was asking about some things that I might actually have cut out. But I called this Vibrant Arrow. It's a ranged spell attack that can target two people and deals 18 or 4d8 plus 5 force damage.
Oof. Oy.
Makes sense why it hurts so much.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, gee.
But this was a, like in another campaign that I ran, I had this exact person and they were a satyr. That's where like the kicking stuff came in. Yeah. And, you know, I was like, okay, let's pick a random race that maybe that. And I was like, Rekindled. I'm like, okay. Let's make this person badass. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sick.
Just guy who likes to kick.
Yeah.
As soon as you said powder, I was like, he's doing drugs.
He's doing drugs.
You're like, nah, they're going to fuck him up, actually.
Yeah.
That was a sick ass move.
Yeah. Well, like what I did for that is that, you know how like fireworks work, that if you combine different elements, it turns different colors. So I wanted to have that same concept for the Rekindled, that they eat certain things, they could just change their flame color.
Yeah.
No, that's really interesting.
Well, what that does also now is like, now it makes, at least me as a player, question, okay, is all are all rekindles the exact color we see them to be?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Like, if they, like, how many of them know that?
Yeah.
How many of them are aware of the science behind that type of, like, power to change their color and just be kind of, like, walking around?
That's very fair.
If you blow out a rekindled candle, does it stay out?
You can't do that. Unless you actually
kill
them.
We have purposely made it not possible mechanically, so yes. You can't just kill somebody outright.
Like, well, I think...
They just become extinguished, don't they?
That's if they commit the same crime they did in this new life.
Yeah, so
it's magic, so it doesn't work like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I use Dispel Magic...
Yeah.
I think you just break the construct. I think that person's soul would just be like damned to wander the cosmos.
It's really interesting that you guys are talking about this, because there is a thing that I want to touch on with that concept. You have to obviously ask around and talk with certain people. It's going to be a lot harder for some other people, but I do want to explore like what it is to be a rekindled a bit in this arc. If there's the opportunity that you guys talk with certain people to do that.
Yeah.
But I think you
still
will.
Still haven't revisited the Infernonaut.
I know.
Yeah. From that Infernonaut coming in episode one.
I was thinking about that.
And then whenever Nyssa and Sig and Barry.
The drunk night out.
Drug night out.
I know, but we told someone about it, so.
Yeah, we just never went back to reinvestigate what was going on with that.
Yeah.
We got bigger fish.
Oh, absolutely. It's just interesting.
Oh, no, absolutely. It was not a
fish. It's always a bigger fish.
It's always a bigger fish.
So many fish.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Question. Something in my mouth.
That's not a question.
Fuck you. question for the class. I don't know if this is something that is interesting. We have had so many little lore drops of different characters and in situations where one character or maybe one or two characters heard it and not everyone, or happened completely alone with that character to themselves or in their own, whatever. What bit of lore drop from someone has made you the most like excited or interested to learn more? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Pearl.
Yeah, that's mine too. I was with the Pearl bit, and I think you said coral.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, coral. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about the familial life of Brian.
Yeah,
like familial life. Not chosen family, but the one he was born.
Ooh. And I certainly have. Sorry, I'm so
sorry. No, you do your thing.
Just to add on to that, if and don't take this as you need to get me down to it, but if death saves ever come into play, I got plenty of memories prepared.
Oh, yes, the memories. Hi, Brian.
Hey.
Was that a good Ynir?
That was
pretty
solid. Yeah.
Pretty dope.
Dude, Riker, Ynir, I could do any voice Haven can.
Now do it.
Do one of my French ones.
Oui, oui.
Very good. Very good. You can do all of
it. Nailed it.
Yep.
Nailed it.
Damn right.
You laugh and then
that's
I call.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Ooh, me.
Yes.
You.
Or no, yes.
Yeah.
I would say Nyssa's, what Elxor found most intriguing was relating to Brian of saying, like, I had my own magistrate. That was like a lore drop where it's like, actually, it's just a little thing that I'm called by this one person, and it's my magistrate compared to Brian, and how much I see myself in him. That was like, ooh, wonder where that will go.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by two. I'm sorry, I'm picking. I'm intrigued by all of the stuff with Rathul, and like more information on how that started. We know when it started, but not before.
Yeah,
really,
it would led up to.
And I'm intrigued to learn about that, and then also more about this cage shit with Lycan and like being trapped and stuff. I just find that very intriguing. And
yeah,
like
you
to
casually
learn more.
Dropping that to a stranger while I'm standing there, like what the fuck.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Yeah, I'm excited. I want to learn more about Rathul too. And I think we will, because we'll get into the
the rune book. Stuff we've been talking about doing but haven't had time to do. So.
The book.
Yeah, every night we just go home and read a little bit. You know?
Well,
yeah, how many
like we can yeah, go home tonight at, or in the you know the podcast and just read a little book and maybe I'll give you a little something.
Oh,
lore stuff.
I would say I have two. One was Nissa's lore drop about I'm not a princess. That's just what she calls me, and I'm like, what is this mysterious, spooky, weird, abusive thing
game
going on? It's the pronoun game. That and also. Stuff with Leo's past that we have only really seen in that one death save flashback, which obviously was not something that anyone saw. Because I really think that there's a world where Gail and Leo get to kind of connect over being kind of a failure within their own world. Obviously, I don't fully know what all the context is with Leo, but he's very different from the other Arcanics we've met so far and what we've heard about them being kind of like uppity kind of whatever and not having this emotion thing. So I'm intrigued to know more about that because I think it could be a cool character connection moment.
Yeah. Talk about playing the long game. I'm playing the long game with Leo.
Yeah.
I also just don't think there's any moment that feels like he would just be like, hey, this is what I've experienced yet.
Yeah.
I haven't felt that happen yet. And we'll see when it does or if it does. We'll see.
I really like the conversation, or not the conversations, the opportunities that Leo kind of has to talk to different Arcanics that he has met in the city so far. Because I know I mentioned there is... there's Talus in the death domain of the House of the Solstice. There's now Glacis that you started talking to.
Yeah,
who and are now, the answers? Yeah, now there's Kyrem. Kyrem. Rem.
It's like a darker Kyrem, version of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite
evil Leo.
He's evil Leo.
Personality-wise, he's very similar to Leo.
Oh.
Very similar.
That's cute.
Good to know. I know how to roleplay now.
Yeah.
They're just going to do me.
Adam, can you come over here?
I'm going to get replaced.
Can you come over to my mic? And
I'll just walk back and forth, yeah.
Like Leo's up here, and then Kyrem's down here. And it's like Sonic and Frontiers.
Kyrem is just an emo version of Leo.
I do. Evil.
Emo.
This is Grove of Spriggans.
Oh. I was like, what are you talking about? Evil.
There's shadows in my room.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's also this Grove of Spriggans to check out.
Mm.
I don't know anything about that. So
there's so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ocean. The fucking ocean.
Yeah, I could talk to Pippi.
I got a little distracted.
You did?
That's right.
Plus, I wasn't sure if Brian actually clocked the fact that while flipping through, the ocean was there. I don't know if he even really saw that.
That's why I told the Brass Bears to keep us updated.
Yeah.
Because I was like, Brian would want to know this. I'll ask.
No.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Anyone else?
Haven, did you say yours?
No. It's weird for me to answer because I'm a DM and I kind of know
something.
Yeah. A lot of things. So I'm like, oh man, I'm so excited about like these things. But like also at the same time, I'm like, I know about these things. I think, as I said earlier, like I really like backstories that are connected. Because it's always really fun to play with backstories that are connected as a DM perspective. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited for Leo and Lycan because there's so much that they have hinted towards.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, Lycan's even stated a name from their path, past.
I didn't think we were going to mention him again.
Yeah, like Cerberus being dropped is really cool. I'm excited to explore that and get to see and talk more about that jam and see. I'm really excited to talk about Leo's backstory a lot because actually Adam has been working on a little bit of a backstory and just got it back to me.
Yeah.
And it's more fleshed out than what we originally had.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to explore that and what Torbadir is like. Mm-hmm. Because of certain things that we're going to talk about in the future. And I have always, like, Torbadir is just a really cool city.
And that little just moment from the death save, like we said, was just literally the first moment of Leo appearing.
Yeah.
And what happened. And we don't know what happened. It just was the start
and the panic and then the wake.
Yeah, and I think that was awesome. Like when it was done, it was really well done, and we've seen those moments of brick nest, like all these things.
Yeah,
like there's so much that you do as a player that really like hints towards things, but we like, and so we know who Leo is and the things he's gone through, but we don't. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And good. That's super interesting. I'm but actually, right. As I was talking about that, that made me think about something in general. I don't think I don't think people at home, especially people who don't play D&D, will realize how good of players you all are. And I like want to highlight that in terms of like, if you have never been a DM before, there's some people that really just don't work with you to like create their story, even though like that's the whole point. And it's really awesome to have like such devoted players that like with Ari, like the bit like Ari is, I have not read them, but I have seen the tens of pages that have been sent to Nick. And like, it's awesome that
so much
like
pages.
That happens. But even when something goes a different way than Ari expects, they pivot because we're pivoteers.
We're pivoteers.
Damn right.
If I could touch on that, that was something I was really worried about whenever I was like, you had your own plan for how you wanted to ask Malus and Toby these questions. And I was like, I really hope I'm just not railroading you. Like, to a really high degree.
But it didn't feel like railroading at all because I told you the things I wanted to do. I wasn't like, this is exactly how it has to happen. That was just me in my brain. But what you did was way cooler.
Oh, thank you.
So, I mean, it has way more consequences. And we've talked a lot about how, like, consequences are a big part of this story and what you guys want to do with it as DMs. And I think it worked really well. But yeah, it is very interesting because I've spent a lot of time with Nick building the House of the Solstice, and now I'm not allowed to be there anymore. And so I'm like, oh no. And my parents are somewhere in Conamanthir, but that's a big fucking city and I don't know where to go or when I'm gonna do that. But that's cool. So at least I have a thread.
With how I usually play my D&D characters too, because like there's certain moments that I think about that I'm like, oh, this could be a fun thing to do, but like we'll see if that happens, and like if it doesn't, that's okay. I mean if you can't tell, I'm an improviser. I do a lot of improv. But it's just there's a weird pattern that's happened with this character and a previous character I played where there's a backstory that my character has, but there's also a backstory that's behind the backstory that I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I'm referring to XD where he didn't know originally his past, which if you don't know XD, he was my little warforged bard that I have played.
I love XD.
But yeah, Leo has a backstory that he knows and then also a backstory that he doesn't know. So I'm very curious to figure that doesn't know part out and also to reveal the things that he does know and to figure out like.
And we'll get to talk a little bit more about that in arc 3.
Yeah.
I have we'll a lot figure of plans. Out.
Well, I mean, to an extent, I think well-crafted D&D characters have an element that's like, well, this is what the player doesn't know.
Yeah.
The DMs provide. Mm-hmm. But like you've purposefully handed over so much control.
Yeah, I think that because a part of us, you saying that we're like really good storytellers and really good character builders and stuff like that also comes from the attribute of DMs that use the material in a way that is constructive and build the story with the clay they're given. And I think that's really what makes it's the push and pull, the pinch and ouch, you could say, how a
that's
good
theater goes.
D&D, like a good D&D relationship works with the DM and the players is giving and receiving to each other to build a story. Because that's how, you know, with improv, you don't deny, justify, or you figure out different things that can add to the story, the scenario, or whatever may happen. Mm-hmm. And just seeing what story comes out of it, because you never know. You could plan for one thing and then this other thing happens and it's so much cooler and you're like, that's great. That's awesome. And that just goes with collaboration between both sides.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think on that, if you want to take it away.
Yeah.
Well, that wisdom passed down.
Heck yeah. I just see that none of you guys are interested in Elkstor's backstory.
I don't give a shit about it. Well, I don't give a shit about it.
You and me both, Elkstor. No one was intrigued by my shit.
Oh no, I
it's just because
I think
I'm joking. Yeah. I'm deeply joking. Because, I mean, the truth of the matter is Gale hasn't really dropped much to y'all. Mm-hmm. Things have just happened to them solo.
Alexador feels so normal and it's so weird.
He's so, like,
something's
got
to be wrong with you.
Yeah. And I've said before what I was interested in Gale's story. I've already said a bunch of my excitements.
I know. I'm just being dramatic. I love you all.
Yeah. Brian, I just know his drop was crazy. When he said Pearl, I was like,
oh yeah.
You've said nothing for this past like 7 games we've had, and then you suddenly like bring something up. It probably more than that.
It's been 6 months and
Pearl was episode 2, wasn't
she? Episode 2?
When I had that Sarah conversation, that was episode 3.
Well, the sister thing.
You said sister, not the name.
Oh, you said sister. You didn't say the name.
Pearl. Well, it was really? Also the thing.
Yeah.
With yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Never dropped the name.
Nope.
Yeah.
That's why it was so huge. You're like, there's a name. There's something about.
Actually, last thing.
Yeah.
You want to talk about good players? Everyone at this table is a good player. I am so glad of how big of. Good of a sport Jake is for getting shit on every fucking episode.
I was gonna say that, yeah.
Nobody else would be able to handle it like Jake.
No,
like the amount in which he has had disadvantage for 4 episodes,
missed every
on
hit.
Everything, missed every hit, has been given a new shackle, like,
got thrown into a dungeon,
like
this, a new shackle around the neck and a new sword that's a shackle.
Sword yes. Demon,
like sword it is demon. Like everything that has been. Given to Brian is just another trap, and mm-hmm. I no person would take it in stride like I have seen Jake take it. I would be so pissed personally.
Oh shit!
Yes. Yeah.
Kaboom.
So glad you said that. That was a point too, because I was just like, man, dude, like you and me have just put Brian through the wringer.
We really have.
Yeah. Don't worry.
Intentional. Truly, yeah. Really, not even that intentional.
No. You know what's gonna happen? I'm gonna fucking die before any of the good shit plan happens. That's what's gonna happen.
You're just an easy target. Yeah. Oh Lord. Well, everyone, I said, have we recovered?
Recovered.
Yeah. Arcane. Cool. Well, everyone, for you listeners out there, I hope you all have a wonderful day. Stay warm. Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay safe. Again. I said right again.
And stay dry. Where please don't eat your roommate's food without saying anything. Mm-hmm. It's disrespectful as fuck. Mm-hmm.
Shit, is this at me? Did I do that?
No.
Everybody boo this motherfucker.
I was like, boo! I did it to myself, so I'm fine.
Yeah. It makes it more fun.
I was bullied in elementary school. I know how to deal with
Why do you think I'm funny now?
Hey. You know how much trauma it takes to be this funny?
No, Haven, you're perfect.
Thanks, Snookums.
Yeah. Until next time, be careful adventuring. Because if you're tired, you could always come back home.
Come back home.
I missed it. How could you?
I forgot.
I need up out of that chair. Oh my God. I'm sick of this chair.
You're sick of this chair.
I'm sick of this chair.